chapter 50, verses 22. And it starts off reading, "So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the sons of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.' So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word.
Amen.
Love
Amen.
It.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the Word of God. We also welcome you this morning. Our purpose here is to worship, and we've been reminded this morning that it is through Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Let's continue even now to look at this Word this morning, and we do it through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here, and just thank you for the word that we've heard, for the songs that we've had the privilege to sing. Father, for a time that corporately as a body of believers we can lift up our voices, we can turn our hearts to you, thank you for this great privilege. We've been reminded it is through Jesus, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus, who died for us, who was raised from the dead, who paid the price of our sin, who by his death paid the penalty, broke the power, and God, through his finished work, we look to that time when sin will be no more in our lives, and we can worship you fully and completely because of Jesus Christ. We give you glory now. Help us as we continue to study your word this morning, looking at the life of Joseph. Thank you for this study. We give you glory now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter 50, verse 26. Genesis chapter 50, verse 26. The first words of that verse say very plainly, "So Joseph died." Do you see that? So Joseph died. The words are clear. The words are simple. The words are right to the point. Joseph's life on this earth came to an end. And brothers and sisters, unless the Lord Jesus returns, these words will be said of every person in this room today. So, Pastor Tim died. So, Cheryl died. So, David Martin died. So, John Cosart died. So, Elva Craig died. Well, I don't know about Elva. She will probably keep going. I don't know. But that will be the testimony of everyone here. This will be the record of our life. We, like Joseph, will die. And so the question before us this morning then is not, will we die? But the question is, how will we die? How will we die? And I'm not talking about the circumstances or the situation of our death. I'm not talking about death by cancer or death by heart attack or death by car crash or death by simply wearing out. You see, the main point of our passage this morning is this, that a person who lives by faith in God's promises will also die by faith in God's promises. And folks, that's the testimony of Joseph. That's the life that he lived, and that's the death that he died. And so the question then before us this morning, as we look at this final passage in Genesis and this final passage in the life of Joseph, the question is this: how did Joseph's death show that he trusted in the promises of God? How did his death show that he trusted in God's promises? There are several ways. We see them in our passage this morning. Let's look now at the Word of God. I want you to notice first that Joseph focused on his family. Joseph focused on his family. Look at verse 22. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. In summing up the life of this man Joseph, who had fame and fortune, who saved a whole nation from starvation, notice now that Moses mentions the simple fact that he lived to see his grandchildren. Verse 23 says that Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. Folks, that means that Joseph saw his great-great-grandchildren. Verse 23 also says that the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. One translation says that they were born on Joseph's knees, or they were counted as his own. And what that means is that Joseph took his grandchildren seriously. I would say that he took his children seriously. He took his grandchildren seriously, his great-grandchildren. Now, we may as easily pass over this morning, but we should not. And there are several reasons. I'd like to mention two reasons why we need to consider these statements. First of all, it matters not how successful a man may be, but family is one of God's greatest blessings. Now think about, just for a moment, what Joseph did in his life. Think about his work, his labor, his service, his wisdom, his integrity, his power, his position, his preeminence in the nation of Egypt. He was the second most powerful man in the nation of Egypt. And folks, that means that he was one of the most powerful men in his time. He was respected by all. And yet these final words focus on his family. And that reminds us that our greatest influence and our greatest impact are on those who were closest to us. Our greatest impact on the world can come through those who are closest to us. And I think that we can be sure this morning, based on Joseph's life, that in his final years with his family, they were focused on God and they were focused on God's faithfulness to His promises. Joseph cared for his family, and he was faithful in that care for his family until the day he died. Several years ago, my cousin Mike passed away. And Mike was a pastor and a school administrator in Florida, and he had some serious health problems, actually for most of his adult life, and especially in his later years. He had to retire early because of his health, and he gave himself in those last years of his life to spending time with his grandchildren and teaching them the truth of the Word of God. And what a blessing it was after Mike's death to read what his grandchildren wrote. Because he gave himself to their spiritual needs. He gave himself to teach them and train them the truths of God's Word. You see, Mike knew how important those children were. And I submit to you this morning that Joseph knew the importance of family. There's a second reason we should not pass over these words about Joseph and his grandchildren. You know, that's something about the Word of God. It's easy to read through a passage. And sometimes, don't we just easily pass over things? It seems that some things stand out to us, but we just easily pass over things. And folks, we need to be careful, because those things that we so easily pass over are truth. They're God's Word, and they're beneficial for us. Here's a second reason we should not pass over these words easily concerning Joseph and his grandchildren. You see, folks, Joseph lived to witness the beginning of God's multiplying his family according to God's promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Remember, God promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that God would make of them a great nation. God would multiply their descendants as the stars in the sky. That was the promise that God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the scripture here says that Joseph brought them up, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, he brought them up on his knees. He treated them as his own. And this has to include teaching and sharing and telling them about God and his promises. I mean, can't you just hear Joseph telling those grandkids and great-grandkids of how God chose Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees? How God made promises to Abraham. How God gave Abraham and Sarah their son Isaac. How Esau and Jacob were born. How God protected Jacob and blessed Jacob. How God gave Jacob 12 sons. And how God even brought Joseph to Egypt to save his family and to save the whole nation of Egypt. And through it all, can't you just hear Joseph saying that God was faithful? Through it all, God kept his promises. And though life was hard and life was difficult, God can be trusted. Joseph knew that his family would be used by God to be a channel of blessing to those who did not know God. Joseph saw the value of his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And Joseph's focus on his family shows us that Joseph trusted the promises of God. And he trusted God's promises in life, and he trusted God's promises as he moved toward death. Look at our passage. There's a second way that this record of his death shows us that Joseph trusted in the promises of God. Verse 24, Joseph reminded his brethren of God's promise. Look what it says. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so as Joseph is about to die, he left his family with the greatest inheritance that any man can leave his family. And folks, it's not money, it's not property, it's not possessions, it's faith in God's promises. Now notice his words again. He says, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Notice that Joseph is dying, but God. Do you see that? I'm dying, but God. I'm leaving you, but God will visit you. This word visit means to give attention to care for, to deliver. Joseph is telling his family here that even though he is dying, and he had cared for them for many years, he had protected them for many years, God will care for them. God will protect them. God will be with them. And he even says to his family that God will bring you out of this land to the land that he promised. Folks, these are words of faith in the promises of God. This is what Joseph leaves his family. Faith in the promises of God. Now, Joseph's family had learned to depend upon Joseph, but his last words would move them to look beyond that trust in him, to look to the living God, God who would care for them, God who would protect them and watch over them when Joseph was gone. What a testimony to leave to our families. But God. Think about it. Children, I'm sick, but God. Children, I'm dying, but God. Children, I'm leaving you, but God. You see, brothers and sisters, we must live and leave our families with the clear truth that the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. And the greatest thing that we can do for our families is to move them away from a dependence on self and a dependence on us to a dependence upon God and God alone. Joseph lived a life of faith, and the genuineness of his faith is seen in the fact that he lived that life of faith even unto death. And folks, there's a truth here that's important, and again, we shouldn't pass over it. And that truth is this, that real faith will endure. Real faith, genuine faith, will persevere. The writer of Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. You listen, I'll read it carefully. He says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." You see, endurance, perseverance. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. He said, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." You see, genuine faith, real faith endures to the end. And we see that in the life of Joseph. Joseph lived and left his family with faith in God's promises. And brothers and sisters, we must do the same. Now look at our passage, because there's a third way that Joseph's death showed that he trusted in the promises of God. Joseph would be buried in the land of promise. Look at verse 25. "And then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.'" Now think about this. Joseph knows he's dying. He speaks to his family, and he gives his family the instructions that he was not to be buried in Egypt. Now Jacob also did that, if you remember. And Joseph follows that. He was not to be buried in Egypt. The resting place of his body would not be an Egyptian tomb or a pyramid. And folks, think about it, because he surely deserved a grand and glorious funeral. There is no doubt that the Egyptians would have freely, with great gratitude, given Joseph the highest honors in death. But instead, his body would not be buried, but placed in a wooden coffin so that when the children of Israel would leave Egypt, the body of Joseph would be taken with them. This was a declaration of his steadfast faith in the promises of God. Joseph not only spoke about his faith in the promises of God, but this final oath by his family concerning his body would be an action of faith. His life and now his death were tied directly to the promises that God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And folks, 400 years later, the children of Israel, the family of Jacob, they would leave Egypt. They would become slaves. They would suffer at the hands of the Egyptians. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "There arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. But God would visit them, just as Joseph said, God would visit them and remember them and care for them." And God's servant Moses would lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. And they would leave in haste. The scripture says 600,000 men would leave. And when you add men and women, when you add women and children to that number, it's around 2 million people. 2 million people with livestock and belongings heading out from Egypt across the desert. But in all of that confusion, and after all those years, look with me at Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you." I want you to think about that just for a moment. During all those years of prosperity and slavery and oppression in Egypt, Joseph's bones had stood as a witness of faith in God's promises. That coffin that held the embalmed body of Joseph was a clear testimony of God's faithfulness. And folks, it might take 400 years, but you can trust God. You can believe what God says. God will keep His word. And think about it over and over and over. We're not told in the scriptures where that coffin was, where it was placed, but I can say this, that any time that anyone saw the coffin of Joseph, they were reminded of the promises of God, that God would visit them and God would take them out of this land and they would return to the land of promise. Now, hold your place in Genesis chapter 50 and go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. The writer of Hebrews says here, keep in mind now, he's giving us this description of the faith of those Old Testament saints. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. The writer of Hebrews says, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones." I want you to consider this. Of all of the events of Joseph's life, of all of the actions of faith that we have studied together concerning Joseph, the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, highlights these last words and last actions of Joseph. And he says, "By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones." It was this action of faith that kept his connection with God's people and declared his confidence in God's promises. and showed a continuing, persevering faith in God's person and put forth a clear example of steadfast faith for God's people and proclaimed a willingness to wait for God's promise. And brothers and sisters, God gives us the same opportunity to be a witness to God's faithfulness in our lives and also as we move toward death. Genesis chapter 50, verse 26 says this. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And so the book of Genesis and the record of Joseph's life ends with a coffin in Egypt. And yet we know that that's not the end of the record, because the book of Exodus is the record of God visiting the people of Israel and bringing them out of Egypt and moving them to the land that He had promised them. And folks, think about it, because that's only a small part of the big picture of God redeeming and rescuing a people for Himself from all the people of this planet. Because from the family of Jacob, God would send a deliverer to this earth. And that deliverer would be both God and man. And we know Him as Jesus. And He would rescue and He would save His people from sin by His death and resurrection. And God would take the suffering of Jesus by the hands of wicked men, and He would use it for our good. And therefore, when we look, as we have examined the life of Joseph, Joseph's life clearly points us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank God this morning for the record of Joseph. And I pray that we've learned much together from this study. By the Spirit of God, the life of Joseph in the Word of God still speaks to us today. And in closing this series of studies, I'd like to leave you with three reminders. First of all, God in His sovereignty works all things for His glory and our good. And God uses suffering and sorrow and trouble in our lives for His purpose. Number two, we can forgive people who hurt us. We don't have to live a life of resentment and bitterness. And number three, we can trust God. The promises that God makes, He will keep. And we can live by faith in the promises of God. Let's be grateful this morning for the record of Joseph's life. We trust this morning that God has used it to change our lives. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to thank You this morning for this time that You've given us in these last months to study the life of Joseph. And Father, I know from a very personal way that You've used it to change me, and I thank You for that. And I trust You, Father, and Your work in the lives of Your people, and by Your Holy Spirit through the Word of God, that You have sanctified Your people through this study. We thank You for Your blessed Word. And even this morning, as we consider truths that we've seen in the last part of this study, we pray, God, for Your work in our hearts today. Change us in the inner man. Help us, Father. Transform us. Make us to be the people that You want us to be. May we respond to You in obedience and submission for Your glory. We thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.